Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
You've got far too much work on, haven't you?
I haven't got far too much work on. I've got enough work on. But the thing is, when you've got work on, and then and things go a bit wrong, and there's a postal strike, which makes a mess of a few things, yeah, it can be a tiny, tiny bit stressful, but it's fine. And I'm here, and I've done my work for the podcast, and I'm ready to go. Top of my list just says Pete Davidson -Y. Of kind of I hate columns that you can write this week, but you've just done an I hate column, and you didn't mind.
Not I hate.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the vet? No,
no,
sorry.
I'm talking about the architect.
We're talking about the vet column. So we thought that there's a column. What have you got? Is that a vet column?
No, I've got the Lido cold, annoying cold water swimming pool.
Because we did see that story about vets being
overcharging everybody.
Overcharging being super expensive, yeah. And all these people, and they love their cats and dogs so much, they end up being overcharged by these awful vets. And the fact that most vets now are owned by these huge conglomerates, and they oversell. We've been diddled. We paid $2,000 for a scan of our perfectly healthy cat, mm-hmm. You know. And so I could do vets. What a fucking waste of time. Yeah. Charlatans. But yeah. As you say, we're coming off the architect's one from last week.
We're coming
week,
off the, back of the architect one. Yeah. Was it?
Well, it came up in the podcast. It was our show.
Oh, it's a great idea. Most architects are total charlatans.
Yeah, but absolutely. I mean, the architect world went mad. They took off their little square frame glasses and put them down, and they got out their little rotary pens, and they drew little pictures of me being hanged from a really clever gibbet, which like got the sun all day long, and also you could make coffee with it.
But I think it's just an example of how massively humorless and stupid they all are, that they could read a piece by a famous, satirical, angry, ridiculous, kind of like outlandish writer and take it really personally, like it's
they called it sick and vile and immoral. I was sort of dragged on Instagram. It's quite hard to drag someone on Instagram.
It's very hard.
You have to
yeah.
hashtag me in a story, and then I have to go, "Ooh, I mentioned in a story." Mm.
Oh, cheers.
You know, it's not like Twitter where it's, you know, where I'm not on anymore, where they can properly the whole
they
everyone
can do
can
you.
Tuck in.
Well, that's just standard internet speak, isn't it? Everybody's vile and sick and disgusting. It's like, yeah, whatever. But like everyone's a racist. Like, fine, find a new word. Whatever.
Well, that's the thing, because they've dragged me for all these things. I sort of being an architectist is a kind of new thing. Oh, he hasn't been mean about us before. Unlike fat people, children, gay people, black people,
dog
Chinese
owners,
people,
dogs.
Dog owners. You know. Every possible imaginable thing that they wrongly claim me to have been. They went with architect. Because I ended with quoting Henry VI, Shakespeare, when he says, the first thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers. And I wrote, first thing we do, let's kill all the architects. An architect I know well wrote to me to say how horrified he was that I'd been literally advocating the murder of architects. Now, admittedly, he's an Israeli architect, and in Israel, maybe things are all a bit more tense. But he was insisting that you're inciting people to think, my God, if you haven't grasped that I'm over-egging a pudding and being a bit silly and partially taking the piss out of myself all the way through, by the end when I say, let's kill all the architects, surely at that point you have to go, oh, maybe he's joking and write backwards.
Well, no, but they just completely ridiculous. I mean, the massive, endless, constant criticism, which is levelled at lawyers, policemen, journalists, you know, doctors, all sorts of other people. And as a member of one of those professions, you read them and you go, yeah, yeah, the industry does have some problems and all I can do is kind of do my best and not be one of those people. The fact that they've all taken it so personally, like it's a personal attack, is just so dim-witted and stupid.
Well, when we are members of a profession, journalists, well, literally a journalist is, at least one is killed every day. I don't know what the stats are, but journalists are killed
40
all day, every day. Yeah. And a profession that is vilified unfairly because of one or two bad whatever.
Almost always, by the way, killed for just telling the truth about something.
Yeah.
And not murdered for kind of getting something wrong or getting a headline wrong. Right? Literally, like, they go, this is an outrage, and then someone blows up their car.
And the fact that these architects should have... the architect, I've got to tell you, there was a thing to pass around, what's his address, right? Literally. Now, I know that if you heard that, you would worry that they were going to come around and kind of graffiti it. My worry was they going to come around and do an extension. I mean, this architect's Corin, that's where he lives, we've got his thing, you go around, you wake up in the morning, you've got a huge glass box at the back of your kitchen which is boiling you alive and gets really dirty and lets the rain in. Shall I have a go at vets, or shall we talk about vets? I mean,
I just feel like the vets thing. I think I feel like the vets have sort of been done. You know, they've been done in the paper for massively overcharging and being owned by venture capitalists and being a load of crooks. I wonder what a column from you.
Well, the architects one was a response to a story where some architects were.
Ooh,
that's the architects. She put
the
scissors in the dishwasher.
Oh,
fire her.
No, fuck's sake, darling.
Everybody
stop
knows it.
It
makes them go blunt. Or was that you?
Wasn't me. Come on.
So one could do that. I mean, there's a little bit last week architects, this week vets.
Yeah, no, I just
that could think be the first line. Last week architects, this week vets.
No, I just think it's too.
Okay, fine. So anyone else you think I might hate?
Well, the other one was cold water swimmers and how annoying they are, but I don't know if that's another kind of...
Go on.
Well, okay, fine. So there's a bit about cold water swimmers in the papers this week because the Parliament Hill Lido, which is just down the road from us, has an unheated open-air swimming pool. It has warned inexperienced swimmers not to stay in the cold water for too long after at least one person a day... Hang on. After at least one person a day in the last week suffered from hypothermia... as temperatures fell earlier this week. So...
Because wild water swimming, and that's not quite wild because...
No, it's not it's wild a pool, swimming, it's cold water
wild
swimming.
Wild swimming can be done 150 yards from the Lido in the actual pond.
Yeah.
But the Lido is very, very cold.
Very cold.
And
I
that
feel
is,
like the Lido is probably, in a way, sort of colder than the swimming ponds. I don't know.
Well, it hasn't got all that sort of sputum and I just feel algae
like,
and
I just yeah I just feel like all
shopping
the
trolleys the, that keep
I feel like all the sort of plants kind of maybe keep you're it
right.
warmer but I don't know
you're
but.
Right you're right the Lido since it was refurbished about 10 years ago has a sort of stainless steel or aluminium or something
bottom. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The metal bottom, which is great because it means you get an all-round tan when you're swimming. I discovered because it reflects up on you, but it reflects heat out obviously, so it keeps it cool. Obviously so there's the thing, that is a good idea. I would have a go at the swimmers. I won't advocate killing them this week.
Okay.
Because they may not take it seriously. They're all sitting there all cold and shivering. Blah, 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 blah. He says killers, they're so cold and vulnerable. But, you know, look at these. It has become a bit of a thing. I mean, there's a number of... On my Twitter feed, a lot of the middle-aged women that I on Instagram and Twitter and stuff, it's a thing. Susanna Constantine is endlessly sending... Oh, no, she's marvellous, but she's endlessly... Her in the Serpentine, her in the river. Kitty Dimbleby, endlessly wild swimming. Janice Turner's biog on Twitter is all about her swimming. I think, goes to a pool and swims seriously, and I'm not going to have a go at Janice, but...
No, she really will come around to our house.
Yes, she really will come. Yeah. I mean, she does know where it is, and she's been before and left me wounded. No, I'm not going to have that. But... we could have a go, having a go at the wild swimming people. It's tricky because the main reason they say to go wild swimming is for the good of your mental health. So the assumption is they're all already nutters, the wild swimmers. They're already going to cure some psychological imbalance, which possibly I shouldn't be there tweaking. But there's this thing that people do and suddenly it becomes part of their identity.
Yeah, well, very much. Well, it's all Wim Hof's fault because Wim Hof is this kind of, I don't know, sort of charlatan Svengali type who advocates sort of cold water swimming and you have to be cold all the time and it just will make you last forever and it's great for your mental health. I mean,
Is Wim Hof the sort of super cold temperatures guy?
I think so. Yeah, he's kind of like cold is good. He's like the Scandinavian kind of cold is good guy.
Well, no, they're not. Libby Purvis is a cold is good person, but Libby is happy enough with a cold shower. And that's when I in the morning I do turn the hot water to cold, and there is a mental health thing, it puts you in the moment. You know, mental health is all about
living in the present moment. Yeah,
it's in the too much reflection on the past or the future, but in the moment. And the cold water definitely puts you in the moment. You don't think about anything else, even in the shower. And there's also an element of, it's a bit of first world problems, isn't it? But this is the worst thing that's going to happen to me today, is this freezing cold water. When I've got out of this, I can move on with my life.
Well, in a kind of very, very cosseted first world, it can be difficult to put your kind of trifling problems into perspective, and they can blow up out of all proportion. And I think cold water swimming is probably quite good if you're going through that, because you think, no, this is uncomfortable and this is unpleasant and this is bad. And when all I want to do now is kind of get out and warm up, and then the rest of my day will seem like chicken feed.
But now they're jumping in the water and inconveniencing these lifeguards.
Yeah.
And it's gone too far, right?
Yeah.
So what's mockable in them? Are they responsible for those kinds of special clothes?
Dry robes, yeah. That's just a stupid fashion thing then. And stupid fashion things are just stupid fashion things. I'm not sure how many people who own a dry robe actually go cold water swimming.
But if I'm going, like, fuck off with your dry robes and your special little flappy shoes and your mental health issues and your swimmy.
I don't know how good it is for your mental health, other than just being so pleased to be alive. I mean, I'm not sure what... And there was a report a few weeks ago about then the long-term mental health benefits of cold water swimming are a bit near...
It's not really true. So it's all nonsense. It's all hocus-pocus.
I mean,
it's
like yoga. If you're just some kind of burnt out Londoner, then it's probably right. But if you've got a genuine psychiatric issue, then I wonder how much it would,
it's cold water swimming is bullshit, and here are all these other bullshit things. What are the other bullshit things that people do, like cold water swimming?
Oh, it's just actually, there was a thing this week about how 8 glasses of water a day is too many.
Yes.
Did you see that? So all this sort of detoxing. Ridiculous detox powders.
Well, you do need to be a bit more hydrated, but the young people today drink too much water is real Daily Mail Tom Utley. It's not even Richard Littlejohn.
But they want their own lifestyle, which is nice hot showers and only drink tea to be kind of like.
And they don't want all these
validated.
Immigrants coming over here and drinking our water.
And drinking all this water, yeah, exactly.
But it's like, if I were to do a pre-Christmas, you know, we're getting into Christmas, and we're going to be eating turkey, but you know, brace yourselves for the post-Christmas glut of things you have to do. One of the cold water swimming is bullshit, and I get, having done that, I get like 300 words because I get your survey that says it's
not as good for your mental health as they think it is.
Thing that's conveniencing the lifeguards. Fuck off with your stupid dry robes and your stupid flappy things, and you think it's going to make your skin all tight, but it's not. You're still a saggy old ugly man.
Yeah.
And cold, and it makes your nuts shrink and all that. Fuck off with that. And also, with your drinking water. Look, here's the bullshit research and other bullshit things.
Oh, there was another bullshit thing about this week about not adding salt to your food, which you know is one of my bugbears. A massive... It's basically...
The listeners again how you think that it's not the salt that you put on the food at the table.
I have never said this on a podcast, I don't think. Which is that there's...
the only place I have a haven from this opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I have to listen to your fucking shit Woody Allen jokes. You have to listen to my thing about salt.
He's probably cut the Woody Allen joke out. Now they don't know what you're talking about. Mad old woman making things up about her husband.
the salt thing. There was a survey this week saying that people who don't add salt to their food cut their risk of a heart attack or heart disease or something by sort of 38% or something really, really significant. That's if you are putting salt on already processed food. If you are making your food from scratch, from raw ingredients...
It didn't say that in the thing.
It didn't specify. It didn't specify where the food was from. But most people go to... You know, people... It didn't specify. If it said, people who don't add salt to food that they have made themselves from scratch, from raw ingredients, blah, 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 then I would be like, because that just wouldn't be a thing. Because adding...
You couldn't... People... Nobody has, for example, cooked a piece of chicken with no salt.
With no salt.
And some sprouts and potatoes with no salt. With no and salt. Then sits down to eat
to
it.
To eat it. That would be inedible.
Yeah.
Inedible and disgusting. And also, it's the kind of salt as well. The kind of salt is really, really important. Yes. Don't roll your eyes at me. This is important.
Let the record show.
This is a public health service announcement, okay? Table salt, which is just sodium chloride, is not good for you.
Sodium chloride. I know someone who did chemistry GCSE too. No, sorry. It's the sodium chloride, but it's the flowing agents, the other things that you get
sodium
in Satsa.
Sodium chloride, which they put in like KFC, that's not good for you. Adding sea salt to your food you
because
have
it's
prepared.
Expensive.
But no, it's because
and it comes from the sea.
No, because it has trace
made
elements
by Poseidon.
Of,
it's square hell. Crystal. Sorry.
Sea salt has trace elements of other things in it that are good for you, like lithium and potassium and other trace elements of stuff.
Fucking lithium. And it's got copper in it and also manganese.
Zinc,
and
manganese,
and,
yeah.
And also, what's that? Unobtainium it's got in it, which is and what's the thing from Black Panther Wakanda that I just watched?
I don't know.
There's the thing that makes Ben, you'll know this. What's the thing that makes Wakanda like
vibranium?
Vibranium. That's if you just buy Maldon sea salt with its vibranium, and then you too can be the Panther. No, the other thing is that posh salt is saltier than Chavi salt. So you need less of it.
Are you making this up now?
No, that's true. No, like sea salt is saltier, and so you don't need as much of it when you put it on.
You don't need as much of it, exactly.
But that's to do with the whole...
My lecture about salt.
But anyway, still back to these bullshit things that people do. Doesn't this work? I think having a go at cold water swimmers, the world is ready for. I've not seen it. I think you go for a swim and there's all these... You know, just trying to get to work and the pavements are just... full of stupid people in dry robes bustling to get to the nearest puddle to jump in. And it doesn't do them any fucking good. And now they're all drowning and getting hypothermia. Well, good riddance to you. Fuck you all. And also all you cycly, walky people. All your people, you people with your meditation. Fuck off.
Meditation,
yes. Yes, meditation. But anyway, that's a thing.
You could do that. It's like another quite kind of angry one though, isn't it? And kind of another I hate. Oh, look. Okay, right. I've got to go to the loo and then I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about parking tickets.
Well, now there's a teaser to go into the next section. There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer. Rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So yeah, what about parking
Have
tickets?
You got the parking ticket story?
Yep.
Great, well done. Right,
well, the story's not in the end madly interesting, but it frees up the possibility of a fascinating parking ticket column. Mm-hmm. Private parking firms made £50 million profits during lockdown. Weird when no one was allowed to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Seven of the top private parking firms had a collective turnover of more than £650 million and earned more than £50 million in profit in the past 3 years despite the COVID lockdowns. MPs and motoring groups have called for an inquiry. Inquiry after it emerged an unprecedented 30,000 motorists a day, that's a fuckload, are receiving tickets. The number of tickets issued on private land has risen by 50%, which equates to a motorist being penalised every 3 seconds. I could say death to all traffic wardens. Line up with the wild swimmers, the vets and the architects.
I actually quite like local authority traffic wardens.
I
like ours because they basically never give anyone a parking ticket.
We're looking to write a column. There's the thing, our different parking practices. You never ever pay for parking or park legally ever.
Basically never, no.
On the basis that you get the odd ticket and your husband will pay. On the basis that you'll get a ticket and then pay.
I get a ticket maybe twice a year. And I happily pay it as a contribution to the local council. There you go. But I basically don't... I mean, I'm not an idiot. I don't park on high streets. I don't park on double yellow lines. I don't park on zigzags. I don't park dangerously. None of that. But what I do is if I am going somewhere and I need to be there for sort of 20 minutes, I will park my car basically wherever I like, go in, come out, and then drive off again, and I don't get a parking ticket.
It is true that in terms of if I could do like how to avoid parking tickets, listicle... get it out of the way, get on with my weekend, would be like how to avoid parking tickets and how to appeal them. So avoid them. You go for the just fucking pay.
When I used to drop
the kids off at school and you're meant to pay for half an hour parking and it was like £2 and a real fiddle. And the parking fine in Barnet was only 30 quid if you paid. I realised that I'd have to get a ticket more often than every 15 times.
Exactly.
For it to not be worth the money.
Very simple maths.
So in the end, you just...
And also, if you're not... I'm not a complete bastard about it. You know, I don't just park my car in a resident space and then fuck off for the whole day so that someone else can't park. It's like you have to be clever about it. But like, I never get a parking ticket.
Since the residence permits thing became invisible, the council got so clever, we don't have to issue the tickets or the road tax anymore. The warden has to put the number plate in. The fact is... put yourself in the shoes of the traffic warden. Yes. Can you be asked?
No. And if you drive a little tin pot car that kind of goes completely unnoticed, like mine, if you drive... I swear
a little tin pot car that goes completely... Sorry. Finish your point and then I will retract and take the piss out of you.
I swear to God, you are more likely to get a parking ticket if you're parked illegally if you are in a big expensive car than if you're in some shit runaround.
You say that, but I have occasionally objected to the council on the principle that I was ticketed despite being in a small beaten up car, and you let that Ferrari go and they should be getting the tickets. Whenever I see a Ferrari or a Porsche with a parking ticket on, I take a picture and put it on Instagram and go, yay! And we all go, yay!
Right.
Just because, like, fuck you Ferrari drivers, although it's a...
A Jaguar!
It's electric, though.
Oh, okay.
Makes it okay, because that's what Jesus would have driven over the Sea of Galilee to go fishing. No, I say that if I get done in your car, one of my historic beaten-up cars like my old Fiesta.
Mm-hmm.
Funnily enough, the fact of it being an electric car is significant. So when I'm saying this thing where that you can get away with more because... Sorry, I need to go back and take... When you said your small... surreptitious, unnoticeable car. I was immediately put in mind of that Pierce Brosnan Bond film when he has the invisible car.
Does he?
You know, he has his car which can turn invisible. It's like it was the kind of jumping the shark moment for Bond.
Right.
Oh, fuck off!
Yeah,
he's got this car that goes invisible, and it's the MacGuffin where even as Q was showing it to him, you thought, but it's going to not work at some point.
Exactly.
This could only be setting up a moment when Pierce is driving his invisible car and then it becomes visible and he immediately gets a ticket. So he has this invisible car that he drives around, and I thought, but if instead of going to Q, he'd come to Esther Walker, she just said, yeah, it's not invisible, but it's really small and unnoticeable. It's a Kia. Yeah. It's just a Kia Picanto automatic Bond. They'll never know it's you.
They won't. No one would expect Bond to be driving around in a little Kia Picanto.
Do you think that's maybe what the next Bond film? Because all these changes they're going to have to make. They bring Bond back to life. It might be a woman. It might be whatever. It could be you being Bond. And the thing is that or maybe you will be Q, and you can have this new kind
I'm
of...
not saying no.
Yeah. So then you could have this new car. The trick is to give Bond a car which is just a sort of beaten up Korean automatic
little,
with three doors.
They did
that
have
has
a little
no...
bit more of a sense of humour than the recent Bond just gone. And you know, maybe that about Ana de Armas, whatever her name is, played a kind of... she was on her first week of the job and it was quite funny. There were some quite good gags with that. Maybe if Bond's going to have a little bit more of a sense of humour, they might give Bond a kind of beaten up, like...
And how Bond avoids a parking ticket.
Say Ibiza to drive
this
around.
This would be the first thing. Oh, fuck goes Bond. In fact, the pre-title sequence would be him getting a parking ticket and the whole film would be how I can avoid getting one. Get over the DB7, get a Kia Picanto. My point is... Sorry,
that was very boring, darling. Yeah, right, what are we going to do next?
Really
you could do a thing about... But the thing is, I feel like you've done your hilarious...
Okay, I've got to... this one won't get through Ben. But still, they said fewer than half of Cambridge students are heterosexual.
Yeah.
You mean as many as half are heterosexual? That was, because all the Cambridge spies and they were all gay. That's the entry Ben, is it? But
49% of students identify as heterosexual and 33% said that they were bisexual because they don't want to limit their options. Because you don't want to limit your options.
Because these fucking Poindexters at Cambridge who never have sex at all. The idea that 33% of them go, yeah, fuck anything, boys, girls, sitting at home doing their maths. Do you want to come out? Now I've got to finish my work.
I'm bisexual, I don't want
to. And they go rowing. Join this, join the basketball team and the Ents committee and play a stupid fucking clarinet.
Is that what Cambridge people are like now?
Yeah, they don't. The idea, Cambridge children, Cambridge students, they don't, they have even less sex than Oxford students.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, well, Oxford, when I was at Oxford, I remember the statistics, I must have bored you with this before, but it was something like 70% of students arrive at Cambridge virgins and 40% leave virgins. And the thing was, sure, you arrive at Oxford a virgin because you've been in a single-sex school working really hard and haven't had a chance to do it. But it's the 3 years, what the fuck were you doing, that you've all managed to leave virgins as well. So anyway, I hate Cambridge students. Line up with the wild swimmers.
Yeah, yeah, and the
vets and the architects. And the,
exactly.
I thought we had, this was a thought, as I see Matt Hancock.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say he's been overcovered, but he's now on the news. There he is. He's doing some sort of dance in the papers this morning.
He's doing the conga.
Is he? Yeah. He's milking it. We were distressed, weren't we, about the overplay of Gina Colodangelo from A Man With a Family.
I was a bit distressed by her white zippy up jumpsuit.
And her visible ass.
That is a family that have been left genuinely incredibly traumatised. And then he's gone on I'm a Celebrity. He's gone on I'm a Celebrity, and they're just sort of,
he's
all
embarrassed
over
that he's already been caught on CCTV. He's basically reenacted the CCTV clinch as he leaves the jungle.
Yeah.
He's been constantly showed with her. She's got a family too. One doesn't want to be over moral. Two people can fall in love and have to leave their things, and divorce is not a stigma, and children of divorce can be fine. But so soon after that,
it's just a bit.
He's there dancing on the fucking paper, and his kids are at school.
Yeah.
It's absolutely staggering.
It's sort of in poor taste, isn't it?
So I'm thinking, and they're supposed to know, can he get back into politics? He's been, his local Conservative Association think no. Local Tory councillors are all saying no. What about, what can we do? 101 uses for a Matt Hancock. Got anything? You're saying he's useless. Are you thinking or are you not thinking?
I'm thinking.
Oh, you do? Because I brought this up yesterday. I thought you'd have written a long list.
I'm thinking. Well, no. The thing is that I absolutely wasn't remotely surprised that he did well on I'm a Celebrity. At all. When we went to that party and he was there, and you, like everybody in that room, had like sort of written like mean things. He was like laughing at him, poking fun at him. I had as well. I wrote a mean thing about both of them. And he just sort of smiled and sort of waved. He's just this kind of completely indestructible personality. He's going to genuinely.
But this is the thing.
It's like a game show or something.
Oh, he won't be a game changer. He's not got that kind of person. It's the fact that he's up for things and he plays football sort of quite well. I think in the jungle he did well. He wasn't. The point was he didn't mind eating these things.
He's completely bomb-proof.
And he's quite good at getting voted for. And that's what the skills they have. And he's quite good at sort of building teams. So what could he do? Going forward, what could he do? We need, for example, he could be the face of the Qatar 2034 World Cup bid.
Oh my God.
Because the Qatar's going to have trouble. He could be, we're going to need a new Duke of York.
Yes.
We're going to need a new Duke of Sussex. These are things he could do. What about the face at the front of Wimbledon? The BBC fired Sue Barker because she was old, but they were too pussy to do it to her face, so they did it behind her back. How can it bring itself back? Matt Hancock.
What, to be kind of like a Greg Dyke figure? What was
yes,
Tim
he could
Davey.
Be.
Tim Davey, is that Tim Davey?
Yes, exactly. Replace him with Matt Hancock because Matt Hancock can do anything. What about, he could be a guest editor of the Today programme?
Yes, always.
To segue into another story this week. The guest editor, you know how the Today programme, basically, because they all want to fuck off on holiday quite reasonably, the likes of Amal Rajan and Nick Robinson and everybody, they want to, Martha Carney, they want to go and have a bit of a Christmas. So they get in, they do these pre-recorded, are they pre-recorded? I think they are, these sort of guest edited things, and they get famous people in for the week. And this year, there's Jamie Oliver.
Lovely jubbly.
Just slam it in. Just bish bosh.
Yeah, bish bosh.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
He's going to do a 5 minute Today programme.
Jobs might find one. Exactly. With ever decreasing numbers of presenters. How to do the Today programme with 4 presenters, 3 presenters, 2 presenters, 1 presenter.
Ian Botham, Lord Botham.
Sorry, wait. Hang on a second. Ian Botham is going to be a guest editor of Today.
Beefy Botham is going to be a guest editor of Today, yeah. There'll be lots of cricket,
yeah,
which Amol will be happy about,
right.
And lots of cricket. And then Bjorn Ulvaeus out of ABBA is going to be doing it, or whether it's just going to be a hologram of him doing it, yes, is not entirely clear. Good, I'm glad you got that reference. Anyway, the point about this is, if the Today programme can have a guest editor, why can't this podcast
have guest?
Who would be our celebrity guest editors for this podcast?
To replace us.
Because we're going to do two more eps and then go for a Christmas break. Or are we? We could have a... Oh, in the column, it would have to be a guest editor for the column. And do a thing about who would be a good guest editor for my column.
Well, I mean, I could be easily replaced with a tub of lard, Roy Hattersley style,
I
think.
That's not true.
Well, I'm feeling very fat. But
you're not actually looking that fat.
I caught myself on the on our cat cam, which is the thing that we leave in the kitchen to catch bad cat.
Vladimir Mutin. Not to catch him. We leave a trap to catch him,
yeah,
but we leave a camera so we can watch him just looking at the trap and going, and then opening the door to the larder with his paw and eating a whole chicken.
Yeah,
and exactly, like a tin of baked beans, which he opened to the can opener.
Anyway, I caught sight of myself on cat cam the other day, and it is a wide angle lens, so it does make everything look a bit wider than it normally is, but I looked very wide. And I've thrown the clothes
on the floor, pointing up at the cat flap, and what? You saw your arse go by and brought out the sun.
I saw my bosom. It was very bad. Anyway, let's move on from that. No time to feel sorry for myself.
Who could guest edit the podcast / column?
Slash your column.
Matt Hancock.
Yes!
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on The Times radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Off Air, the podcast. With Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
Keep your cheese in the sink.
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, no.
How would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.